questions, and then in the email that I will be sending out on that that Sunday or that Monday of all prayer requests, I will also send the attachment of the handout, so you can still listen to the lesson, and then you can still fill out the worksheet. All right. Okay, go ahead and take your Bibles if you would. Today we're going to begin, over the next course of the next 5 to 6 weeks, we are going to begin looking at the conflicts in marriage. We're going to begin looking at the conflicts of marriage. Y'all could probably teach this lesson a whole lot better than I can. But you know, there is no perfect marriage. Why is there no perfect marriage? Because we're imperfect people. And basically, we are sinful people. Okay? So anyway, take your Bibles and let's look at, first thing is Ephesians 4:32. New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from about three different versions. And Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The ESV says this. Same verse. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ's sake forgave you." And then the New Living says, "Instead." Well, it's talking about that instead, because verse 31 it says to get rid of these things in your life: bitterness, rage. Now, what is rage? Rage is what kind of anger? Hate filled. What's that?
Blinding.
Okay. Good.
Destructive.
What's that?
Destructive.
So really an uncontrollable rage, an uncontrollable just wrath. Okay? You just fly off the handle. When you fly off the handle, you start punching things, start throwing things, start hitting your husband in the head with a frying pan. And I don't know if you ever read about Abraham Lincoln, but his wife was a nutcase. I mean, she, y'all see the guy.
I just thought.
You know, does this dress make me look large? but they say she was a nutcase, that she would just fly off the handle and start hitting him and beating on him and all sorts of nonsense. But it says to get rid of those things, of anger, harsh words. That's what it's talking about, clamor. Okay, the old English word of clamor means harsh words, and then slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That's malice, is evil behavior. Verse 32, "Instead, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God worked through Christ has forgiven you." All right, introduction. First thing is this. Number one, conflict is not all the same. There are different kinds of conflict. The rules are different for different kinds of conflict. Okay? Is the same kind of conflict for one coming home late for dinner, or forgetting to pick up something on the way home from work, is it the same as finding out that you messed up in the budget and bounced a bunch of checks? Are they just not the same kinds of conflict? No, they're two different things. So, conflict is not all the same. Second thing is this. The real issue lies in the fact that most conflicts are not really conflicts at all. Now, what do I mean by that?
That we make them up to be bigger than what they are.
That's exactly right. I really cannot, of the 21 years, almost 22 years of marriage, I cannot tell you, of the disagreements we've had, I probably could not name on one hand what they were about. Why? Because most of them don't really matter. And they really don't matter. Okay? So we make things out bigger, as Ernest said, we make them out bigger than what they are. Now, here is the key. What happens in most marriages is when a conflict does occur, we do not know how to resolve it biblically. You ever try to resolve something on your own? Yes. And what happens when you do? What happens when you try to resolve something on your own without consulting godly counsel, without consulting it in prayer, without consulting it? Yes, you make it worse. Okay? You make it a whole lot worse when you do not approach God about it, when you do not seek counsel through His Word, when you do not seek godly counsel. What happens is you make it worse. So there lies the problem in our marriages. We do not know how to resolve disagreements, conflicts, biblically. So here's the first conflict. We're going to talk about this one today. First conflict is this. Number one. Is sin, first conflict, the sin of one's spouse. The sin of one spouse. Now, here's what usually happens. Spouse sins against another. Now, let's go ahead and name some of those sins. Okay? Could be the sin of infidelity. Could be the sin of financial problems. Okay? One spouse keeps a checkbook. The other spouse doesn't keep up with what's going on. He goes to the mailbox. She goes to the mailbox. Finds out all sorts of bills and things and does a credit report to check on their credit, and they find out that a whole bunch of bills have not been paid and not been met, obligations have not been met. Okay? What happens usually? Arguing? Fighting? Rage? Separation? Divorce, is that handling it biblically? Okay. It's not. Now, there's some instances of where one spouse, and I think we all know about this situation here, of where one tries and tries and tries to make it work biblically, but the other spouse just does not want to, and sooner or later just wanted to catch losses. And just say, you know what? I tried. I tried. Okay? And then the Lord has to do it. Okay? But, so here's the thing. How do we react when we find out the sin of one spouse? Okay? First thing is this. First thing is, what is the attitude of the spouse confronting the sin? That's where we read in our verse this morning. What is the attitude of the spouse confronting the sin? Now notice this, these two words here. Attitude and confronting.
Hey, how does that work?
I guess that's why they call them smart boys. So here's the question. How do we respond when we are sinned against? Once again, it usually goes back to anger, hurt, anger, frustration, especially if it is happening again and again and again. Okay? Rage, bitterness. Bitterness in a marriage is awful. Okay? I have dealt with couples of where they keep fighting over the same thing. And when dealing with that couple about the same thing, that individual said, hey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I stopped doing it. Okay, I put myself on accountability here. I stopped doing that. But she or he keeps bringing it up. Every time there's an argument, it gets brought up.
Hey, come on in.
We're talking about some things that they probably should not be doing.
What is the single
class? Single class is in the building across the street.
They're not single age.
Guys, okay, let me walk over. Sorry.
Sure.
Where was it?
Bitterness. Yes. Okay. So when you get into the argument and you throw that thing back in the face of your spouse, it could mean something that happened years ago. What is that? What is that? Starts with a D.
Bitterness.
Bitterness. Okay? Pulls down to bitterness. Everybody did that one? Alright, let's go to the next one. There we go. Alright, next thing is this. Confronting and dealing with sin is a process. Now, I want you to go back. Let's look back at the other point. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Or 2, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Here's a question. Is any sin worse than another sin? Or is it all sin?
It's all sin.
It's all sin. Okay? When Christ was on earth and he approached the religious leaders, I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and then he dealt with sinners such as the woman on the well, the publicans. When he dealt with the publicans versus the Pharisees, who did he get angry with of those two? The Pharisees. Why the Pharisees? What's that? Okay, they knew better? Okay.
They acted like they already had it all together.
Yeah. Hey, you look at the woman on the well. She was an adulterer. You look at the publicans. The publicans were thieves. Okay, they were stealing. They were embezzlers. They were so much into their sin of distrust that the publicans were not even allowed to testify in a Roman court because their word could not be trusted. If you remember, Christ called a publican one of his apostles, who then wrote the first book of the New Testament of the Gospel of Matthew. He didn't use a Pharisee. He used a publican. So in Scripture, who did he get? You look at the Pharisees, and they were morally had it together. That's what you tell. They kept the law. They made sure that everyone else kept the law. Pastor Sean did a superior job last Sunday talking about the Sabbath and how they that was a big deal to them, was the Sabbath, in keeping the laws of the Sabbath, and how they watched Christ to see if he would heal the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, but yet they would take care of a sheep that fell into a ditch, but they wouldn't help a human being. That kind of speaks of our society today, doesn't it? You know, send a guy to jail for 5 years for dog fighting, but yet a person murders another individual and they serve time served and get out. Okay, because there was some issues. Okay? So, who did he get angry with? He got angry with the Pharisees. Now, what was their big sin issue? It was self-righteousness and pride. was that? Self-righteousness and pride. So when we start looking at the sin of our spouse, let's look at Romans 2:4. Does it say chapter 2? Okay. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. ESV says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? New Living says that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin. Okay? So, confronting and dealing with sin is a process. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. It's a great verse, two verses that are just tremendous. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Two tremendous verses here. You know, every one of us are two things at heart. We're sinners at heart, but we're also legalists at heart. But what do I mean by we're legalists at heart? I think we all know that we're sinners at heart. But what do I mean by we're all legalists at heart?
We create rules for ourselves to follow.
Okay, we create rules for not only ourselves to follow, but other people to follow. And when they do not follow those rules, and they break one of those rules, whether it is biblically or not, what do we have a tendency to do in our mind?
They're not as good.
What's that?
They're not as good.
They're not as good as me. Okay? Now, Paul approaches that in these two verses. Let's look. Brethren, or brothers, dear brothers and sisters, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or if anyone is caught in any transgression or is overcome by sin. What's that next word? What's that next word? What's the next word? The man be overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual. I'm sorry, I left that. I'm sorry. If you which are spiritual, what's that next word?
Restore.
But our legalist, us, our legalistic part of our minds and hearts wants to do what?
Condemn.
No. My mind goes back to the woman who was caught in adultery. And they brought her before Jesus to see what Jesus would do. And Jesus wrote in the sand. Now, some commentators believe that we don't know what he wrote in the sand. We can't prove it's not in the Bible. But believe that he wrote the sins of the men. You heard that one before? He wrote the sins of the men. Yeah, Bob.
You ever heard of her?
Yeah. You. Well, since they left. If I wanted to laugh, what do you do with the one that's called adultery? Go. Don't sin again. Don't do it again. Go. Go on with your life. But stop doing it. Just stop living that way. Believe at that moment you trust Christ for your sake. Okay, it says to restore. It says, restore such as one in the spirit of what? Gentleness or meekness. In a spirit of gentleness. New Living says, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful. Or watch yourself. Because you could possibly do the same thing. Every one of us in this room is capable of deep, dark sin. We're all capable of it. Why? Because we have this. What is this? What is our nature? Sin. Okay, we have a sinful nature, so we are all capable of sinning. So, the next thing is this. I'm hoping to get through these five things. All right. First thing is this. Look at your own attitude. Let's look at verse 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, instead of fulfill the law of Christ, or share in each other's burdens. So first thing this is, look at your own heart. Look at your own attitude. Okay? The attitude in marriage goes a long way. Okay? It goes a long way. Okay? In our marriage, I have had to ask for forgiveness more than my wife ever has ever thought of having asked for forgiveness. Okay? Okay? I'm a sinner. Okay? We're okay to look at each other right now. Okay? So here's the thing. When you are sinned against, what is the first thing you need to remind yourself of? I'm a sinner too. Okay? Well, Sean, I'm a sinner too. I'm willing to. Okay? I'm a sinner. So look at your own attitude. Next thing is this. Speak to the issue directly. Now when you speak to the issue directly, how should you do it?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. Okay. But what do we have a tendency to do? How could you? How could you? How could you do that again and again and again and again? How could you? What were you thinking? Yeah, that's the problem. You weren't thinking. Okay? How many of you have ever used that one at home? No. Maybe you had to use that with my kids. What were you thinking?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Speak to the issue directly. Now, here's a big one. A boundary-loving spouse. That's what we're talking about with marriages. Okay, boundaries in your marriage, boundaries in your home. A boundary-loving spouse will acknowledge the sin and apologize. If you are a boundary-loving spouse, that is, you were approached by your spouse about a certain sin. Okay? You're approached about it. Don't deny it. Okay? You deny it, it's just going to, you're just digging a deeper grave, just making it worse on yourself. Just acknowledge the sin and apologize. Now, this is how you apologize. I am sorry. I sin. Just acknowledge sin as sin. I sin. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Okay? So that leads to the next thing. Accept the apology and forgive. Accept it. When the person acknowledges the sin and apologizes, accept it. Okay. Accept it. I forgive you. Accept it. The apology. Forgive. Reaffirm your love and acceptance. I love you. I forgive you. I love you. So if you say, I forgive you, without saying, I love you, that individual is still going to wonder, are they still love you? And even and if they're questioning your love, then they will probably question your forgiveness. If you say, I forgive you, I love you. Okay, that those three words of I love you go a long way. Okay, the next thing is this. When emotions cool down, things settle down, discuss the problem and set your course of action. Set a course of action. And then lastly, agree on a follow-up plan. Maybe it's an accountability with another couple. Maybe it's an accountability with a pastor. Maybe it's an accountability with both of you as a couple, or maybe you as an individual. If you're a lady, find one of the older ladies in the church. I believe it is very biblically that the older ladies in the church teach the younger ladies. And I think that's biblically. It's Bible. And so, ladies, make yourself accountable to an older lady, the one who is more spiritual and grounded than you. And then, men, if you need to set up accountability with another man, then do that. Maybe you need, as a couple, okay, there's a couple that is accountable to me, okay, that I meet with on a regular basis about issues in their marriage. Okay? So, anyway. All right? Any questions, comments? You go home. The bell rang. Thanks for being here today. Hope y'all have a safe trip. Okay. All right. Let's go and pray together. Okay. Father, we are so grateful and thankful that when we do sin, that you forgive us when we acknowledge it before you. And now, Father, I pray that as we as couples and we as families and leaders in our home, that we will be very quick to acknowledge sin to one another, but also be very quick to forgive and to love one another. To set a course of action, to stick to that course of action, and to go forward. Father, I pray once again for all of the requests that were mentioned earlier. I do pray for every one of them. Many are traveling today and tomorrow, going into the field and so on. Father, we pray that you would protect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all have a great week.